aleph, it's a small base perk aleph. Vayi, Achrimo Shol, after Shol Amalek had died, the David Shov Me'akos is Amalek. David had returned from killing Amalek, Vayi Shev David B'Tziklag Yom and Shnoyim. So he stayed in Tziklag for 2 days. Now he had no idea what was going on in the war against the Pelishim versus the Jews. The funny thing is that you'd think that that would be the first thing he was thinking of, but it wasn't. You know, what happened was like this. David Amalek had returned from fighting Amalek. That's what happened at the end of Shmuel Aleph. He went up against Amalek to try to get his children, his wives and his kids and his men's wives and kids back. They were successful and they came back. It's not a coincidence that we're putting that together. Shaul Amalek died because he didn't kill Agag, king of Amalek. And thus when David defeated Amalek and was able to defeat them, that's when Shaul Amalek, right, was able to die, so to speak. That's the idea of having
it. Like, what real, like, Amalek, like, an
no, Amalek
army.
Is still around.
No, I'm saying, like, an actual, like, army put together, Amalek?
No. Still going to be David Amalek. We're going to kill them all my time.
Who's Amalek? There might be a two-year-old kid of my guy right now.
That's a good concept. We don't know exactly. It could be that some women were able to survive that we didn't know about.
But there is a
there is the famous medrash that the Amalekim, you know, turned into the sheep, and that they had used some form of Achizas Einayim that made them look like sheep when they were around there. Something like a Kishif. But other than that, I have no idea who Amalek could be. No clue how they were Amalekim. No. Not here, at least. I'm sure somebody must address it at some point. But I don't have an answer for it. I don't know. And it only happened about a year and a half ago where Amalek was totally decimated. So it wouldn't be like they were able to get out.
But I didn't quite understand. It seemed to like be more of a conceptual thing, so it was kind of weird.
No, yeah, no, yeah, literally, it's weird. Strange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lit up the sky with meteors and bolts of lightning, so he was able to slay them, okay, etc. It was on the third day. A person had come from a camp named Shaul, from Shaul Melech's camp. His clothes were torn. He had dirt on his head in a sign of mourning. He came to David Melech, and he fell down to the ground, and he bowed down. Now here, listen to this carefully, okay, but we are going to go through this. This man, says the Medrash, was Doi Gladomi. Now, although later on he's going to say he's a Ger Amaleki, I'm going to have to wonder what exactly that means. According to the Medrash, this was Doi Gadomi. We have to understand what it goes on. Okay? We're going to go with saying that it was Doig, and we'll go both sides. It's Doig or not Doig. David said to him, Amy Zetzaba, where are you coming from?
Oh,
would
be nice to him.
Probably because Doig clearly looked like he was coming from war and something bad had just happened. I would assume that's why. But he said to him, from the camp of Yisrael, that's where I escaped.
To the Abbez.
But anybody love David? Ma Yod Dover, Hagid Nali. What happened over there? Tell me, please. People ran away from the war. That was the reason why they lost the war. It's because the people fled. Had the Jews stayed and fought, maybe they would have won, but they ran away. When they were running away, many people died. And they all died. Now, this may not have been from the sword of the Pelishim. It may have been that the Jews started killing themselves when they were running away from war. And then at the very end, it says, and also, Shol and Yehonas and his son have both died. And that was supposed to be over here, and that's what ended up happening. That was the worst of all. First of all, Yehonas died before Shaul HaMelech, but you don't mention Yehonas before Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech was a king. He still comes first. Some say that he didn't mention the other two sons, because what he was thinking was is that the other two sons are either not important to David HaMelech, that David HaMelech didn't know them as well, or he might not have known that those other two kids died. He only knew that Shaul and Yehonas died because they died in the same spot while the other two sons died somewhere else. There's a medrash that says that one of Shaul Melech's kids was named Abinadab, and the reason why he was called Abinadab is because he convinced his father to die at war. Now, when Shaul Melech wanted to run away, Abinadab said, the nevuah that you heard from Shmuel and Avi is that if you die tomorrow, you'll go to Olahava. Wouldn't you rather go to Olahava? So Shaul Melech said, you're right. And he was going to sit there and die in war, but he was afraid that the police were going to torture him. And because of that, he decided to commit suicide instead. And that was the idea of what had happened over there, and that's why he was called Abinadab. David said to the kid who had told him this, how do you know that Shaul and Yonatan have died?
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
because
it's Doeg, or is it?
We just called
him
an Ish.
Nar is a name that's usually used for somebody that's very holy. It is strange. It is strange that Doeg and Melech, Doeg,
why did he went from Ish
to Nar? Nar means like a lad. And he's going to say later on that he's going to ask the kid, who do you belong to? So it must be that he thought that he was a servant of somebody. So maybe he considered him a Nar, even though he was actually an ish that came to David Melech. Alternatively, you could say that Doeg Adom somewhat hid himself and did not let him be seen as being Doeg. But Yomer Anar Magidlo, the Nar, you know, came upon him, told him, Yikroni Kresu Haragoboa, I happen to be upon Haragoboa. Then his Shol Nishan Ochaniso, Shol Melech was there, leaning on his spear, being a Rechabu Bali Aproshami Bichuru, and the chariots and all the horsemen had been coming close. Now, it's just weird. I happened to be? I mean, I don't understand. You didn't see that there was a war there? You didn't realize that there was a war going on? Already is a
area.
Oh, I'm sorry? Harry Gabol was exactly where the war was supposed to be. That's where Shaul HaMelech was. Shaul HaMelech wasn't running away, remember. He was there in the war and he refused to run away. So it's strange. Number one, Asher Korcho Baderech, right? That's the line they use for HaMelech, and thus Nikro Nikresi, as we're going to see later on. It's just very strange that he's trying to say, as if I had just come upon there. It could be that he was there to be able to strip off the stuff that the king and that his sons had, that he knew there was money involved, and he knew that everybody was gone, so the police wouldn't necessarily come there. So maybe that's what he's doing. He turned behind himself, and he saw me, and he called out to me, and I said, here I am. Who are you? Right? A love. And I said to him, Amaleki Anokhi. I am an Amaleki. And that's what I said to him, and that's that. It's weird, right? It says, Vayomer. So it could be that he was too scared to talk and someone else answered for him. And he said, this kid is an Amaleki kid. Strange meeting getting a meeting, isn't it? He had mercy on Agag, the king of Amalek, and then one of Amalek's descendants killed Shaul HaMelech out of misplaced mercy.
This is a different story than what we said at the end of Shmuel Aleph. This is at the end of Shmuel Aleph. He asked somebody.
Very, very good call. The question is this a lie? By your money lie, Amod no, a lie. Stand upon me, Moses, and kill me, because trembling, tremors have grabbed me. Kikol Nashibi, as long as I have my soul with me. Now, there's no question, he was dying. There's no question about that whatsoever. Some say Shabbats is convulsions. Others say that he was had something called a brocade. I don't know what that is exactly, but his armor prevented the sword from fully penetrating.
But could it be
so he said, I can't do it.
He was by the sword, but it just hadn't died yet?
He hadn't died yet. Yeah, that's one of the answers.
So
yeah.
He's anachanito, he's yeah. Leaning on his sword.
That's what it means by convulsion. I am dying.
Oh.
I mean, the sword
pierced.
Yeah, he's literally dying. The second one is that I'm unable to die because it's not able to go further. Others say that the warriors were coming near the charioters and the charioteers and the horsemen were right by and they were about to do that and they were about to seize Shaul. Others say that I'd been seized by their just charge, referring to the Nov Irakoanim, and he said, I am dying from what I did to Nov Irakoanim. Regardless, it was quite fitting that Doeg Adomi killed Shaul, isn't it? If this was Doeg Adomi, if Doeg Adomi had suggested for Nov Irakoanim to be killed to Shaul HaMelech, he was the one who killed Shaul HaMelech and called himself an Amalek.
Doeg doesn't die.
Killing them.
We're going to see that Doeg is going to die for this, but meaning he was the one who said, when Shaul HaMelech said, I'm dying because of Nov Irakoanim, Doeg Adomi is the one who killed him and said, yeah, it's all your fault, not putting anything on himself. Well, Emod Alav, thou Moses say you. I stood beside him, said this guy, and I killed him. Because I paskined that he wouldn't live since he had fallen down to the ground already. So therefore, I'm not chayiv misa for killing him.
So he's a ghost.
And that's what he claimed. Well, I took the crown off his head. That's Adar Shol's row and the piece of armor that was on his arm. And I brought it over to my master to show you that it's 100% true. Others say that if you notice, it doesn't say Asher al Rosho. That is on his head is a reference to tefillin. He took off his tefillin shel Rosh and his tefillin shel Yod. And
it
is over to David HaMelech.
So it's with the other arm.
Yeah, why would it be that, right over there? That would be the idea behind it, yeah.
I don't know, I kind of feel like his story kind of changes throughout the, like, at first he's like kind of a scared kid, and now he's telling David this whole
thing that he's willing to kill Shaul HaMelech and be able to go out
know,
there.
It's like very strange, this whole thing.
The king wore also a Torah on his arm. Right.
Oh, that's good. So he brought the paper Torah that was there. Very, very good. Very, very good. Do I have the notes on this? I don't think I have notes on this either.
It's terrible. I don't know where all the notes are.
All right, neither one can do it.
The updated version with the notes.
The updated version. I'm sure they have it. It's just weird. I should call them up and ask them why there's no notes in here. Isn't that weird? I would think it's really, really strange. Either way, do we believe them or do we not believe them? There are two shitos in Chazal. One says...
Didn't he already lie in the narrative before?
What? Well, we don't know. But maybe he's telling the truth. But
even
what
if
he says...
In Adam, Macy, Mason, Russia.
Oh, so hold on. We're going to get to that. The addition of, and he died by the weapon bearer. When it says the weapon bearer died, there's a mashmos that Shaul HaMelech was not yet dead. That he was dying, but not yet dead. But the weapon bearer died. He had killed himself completely, while this Shaul HaMelech had not. Others say this is a total lie. A total lie. And the reason why we know this is because Ezra and Divrei HaYamim says that Shaul HaMelech committed suicide, does not mention a thing about the Ger HaMaleki. And because he doesn't mention it, it seems that that part of the story is not true. He felt that the Ger HaMaleki was lying.
The way that we had learned it last year was that this guy thought David would be, since David's been running control, this guy thought, oh, great opportunity. I killed him. Reward me, basically.
Yeah. And that's for sure. But he asked David to be called by Yikorin. David grabbed onto his clothing and immediately tore them. But Gam Kol HaNashim Asher Yikorin, so too all the people with him. But
like David's own clothes?
All his men, his own clothing. They gave a hesped, and they cried. They fasted until the evening. I'm showing Yonasan his son. Notice, it doesn't say the other two sons, but again, David Melech may not have known if they died yet. He only heard about Shaul and Yonasan. Now, Am Hashem, now, Beis Yisrael, Kinaf Lebachor, and on the people of Hashem, and on the Bnei Yisrael, that had fallen by the sword. Now, here's the pshat. You cannot believe a Jew when he claims that he killed somebody. That is not allowed. You can believe a goy when he says he killed somebody.
You usually
feel
the way around.
To kill him.
What? Usually the other way around.
The what?
You don't believe a goy says.
No, in Adam Mesim Atzmo Russia doesn't apply by a Jew. But Adam Mesim Atzmo Russia does apply by a non Jew.
Well, why? We never believe non Jews for anything.
For any Adas.
Right.
So we believe them about themselves. When they're being made about themselves and they're saying something about themselves, that we believe them. A hodah, an admission, so to speak. That we do believe them, and that's that. We learn from over here that you're obligated to tear kriya for the leader of the generation. You should know, by the way, there's machlokes. It doesn't say Shaul HaMelech. It says Al Shaul Baal Yonasan, because he did not consider Shaul HaMelech to be the king anymore. He did, however, consider Shaul to be a massive Talmud Chacham, and Yonasan to be the Avbeis.
He's not the king anymore.
I'm sorry? No, but even toward the end of his life, because the Malchus was taken away from him. So he tore kriya over Shaul. Not that the king had died, but rather a great Talmud Chacham had passed away. And that's what he was tearing kriya for, and that's what it's supposed to say. Okay, that's that. There was a kapara that happened over here. Every single person that died in this war was able to ascend to Gan Eden together with Shaul and Yonasan. So if you died in that war, you went straight to Gan Eden with Shaul and Yonasan. But Yomar David Olenar, it's pretty good, right? But Yomar David Olenar, David said to the Nara Magid, told him this, Amy's out, so where are you from? But Yomar Ben Ish Ger Amaleki, I'm the son of a man who is an Amaleki, a Ger Amaleki. Right? Amaleki was totally shocked by the reaction that David Melech had to all this. He claims that he was. Now, here, I have over here, he falsely replied, because he was neither a convert nor the descendant of a convert, said, I was accompanying my father to the battlefront in the employ of no man. That's what he's saying. David Melech could have said it as like sort of an accusatory statement. There's no way you're Jewish, because if you're Jewish, you wouldn't have done such a thing. To which he answered, I'm a ger, I come from other nations, and that's the reason why I'm different. That's the reason why I was willing to kill Shaul HaMelech. Others say, when he said ger, he did not mean ger as in Megayer, because Amalekim cannot be Megayer to Klal Yisrael. Rather, it meant he was a ger Tosha.
That told him that it can't be Megayer, just as...
You're chayav to kill them.
Right, but they don't know you're out until he converts them.
Meaning, you can't have a ger without them. So that they might have hid. And they didn't know that they were until it was already much, much later, where we find out there were Shmuel Bar Shilatz, right, was a great, 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 whatever it is, grandson of Amalek, and by that time they didn't want to kill him. But it could very well be that they hid it the entire time. I don't know if the conversion works. I have a shear from another first once, and if an Amaleki can be Megayer. I remember correctly, there were 7 Shitos, and whether or not an Amaleki can be Megayer. They all bring the riots from over here. You see Ger Amaleki, but the kasha is this true or is this not true? Again, is the guy a liar, or is he not a liar? How were you not not afraid to raise up your hand and kill the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the line that's given over here. Now, we've said that this is Doeg Adoni. If it's Doeg Adoni, how could it be a Ger HaMaleki? So Chazal say that there was a thing over here. Doeg Adoni told Shaul HaMelech that Shaul HaMelech said, Doeg, why did this happen to me? And Doeg answered him, because of Amalek. And that's the event, I am an Amaleki. Meaning he said, it is because, this is what he answered to Shaul, remember, I am Amalek. It's because of Amalek. You didn't carry out the command to kill Amalek, therefore you're being killed.
Didn't that what Shmuel told Shaul in the vision?
That is correct, originally.
So then,
I don't know if it was because of Amalek. He didn't say because of Amalek. He said you're going to be killed. Yeah, but he didn't say it was because of anything like that. So Doeg Adoni said that. So David Melanel asked him, where are you from? Why do you get, how could you give such an answer? How could you not have, I guess you could say, how can you yourself gave him, basically accusing Doeg, you were the one who gave the advice to go to not utterly obliterate Amalek. Remember, Doeg Adoni is the one who gave the advice, you might as well leave him alive. Leave the king Agag alive because you should have mercy whatsoever. To which Doeg had no response. He said, I'm the son of an Amaleki convert. I regret what I did the same way a convert regrets his previous actions. You hear it? To this, David HaMelech replied, your blood is upon your own head. Your blood is upon your own head.
Why wasn't he afraid to kill anybody? I mean, let's say Shaul wasn't king. Somebody who's dying, it's not permitted to kill him.
You're right, but how could you? You're right. In other words, how could you do it at all? But certainly, there's a bigger issue in killing Shaul HaMelech. In the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you not be afraid to do such a thing? How could you not be afraid to do that? Right, I mean, technically it would apply to anyone.
I still don't buy that David actually didn't know it was Doeg. David had interactions with him. Even if he was in disguise, he still should have known
that it was going to be Doeg Adoni. You're right, he had to have known it was Doeg Adoni. The question is, what should he have learned from this?
And that the narrative, by calling him, calling himself, he's the son. He's the son of a convert, and David calling him and referring to him as a Nar or Ish. I'll take that literally, because how could you not know who the Abbas in the generation is?
You're probably right. It would be unlikely that he was able to hide himself in that way and be able to put himself down. Either way, by Yikoy David Lachanam in Aaron, he called one of his young lads, by Yimar Gash Pagabo, go and hit him. By Akeu, he killed Doeg by Amos, and he died. Doeg Adoni, this is the end of his life. He only lived to the age of 33, maybe 34. I don't remember which one is which. One of them, Achitofel, was 34, and Doeg was 33. Either way, they didn't live half their lives. Lo Yechzu Yemeihem. One of them lived to 34, one of them lived to 33. I don't remember which one. I think Doeg was 33, but he died. But I love David. Damcha al roshecha. Your blood is upon your own head. Kipicha anibacha lemo anochi mosati es Mashiach Hashem. Because your mouth has answered you, saying, I have killed the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am the one who was able to do it. Now, it's clear that there were three issues.
Maybe he uses the word anointed one. I mean, he has just a reference to the title of a person we killed.
Very good. Not because he wasn't necessarily the king at the end of his life. Notice there were three big problems over here. Number one, this whole thing is based on the Ger HaMaleki's testimony. Number one, that's the first problem over here. Number two, he was not warned beforehand. You need to be warned beforehand. Number three, Shaul HaMelech was anyway a Gosis. He was dying anyway. It's not like he wouldn't have died anyway. So you have three major problems over here. However, the Torah says we don't accept that I have over here, because the Torah states that we do not accept converts from a Amalek. Therefore, B'nai Noach, laws of B'nai Noach apply to this youth, and therefore, self-incriminating admission without any warning beforehand, even on a Gosis, can kill an Jew. That's number one. Some say it was HaRas Shah, because David HaMelech felt that there was HaRas Shah to show everybody that nobody should kill Shaul HaMelech's relatives on account of me. Maybe somebody would take it upon themselves to say, oh, I want to ingratiate myself to David HaMelech, so I'm going to kill the rest of Shaul HaMelech's kids. David HaMelech wanted to show everybody, no, I don't want that whatsoever, and that's another idea. Otherwise, you could also say that it was just one of the Dini HaMelechus, right? That this is what a Melech does,
and
a Melech has to be involved.
Post facto, I mean, now he's the king, so you can make a law that retroactively applies to somebody who did something before he was...
Beforehand? No, he was for sure still a king beforehand. Remember, he was already anointed by Shmuel and Avi. He was never anointed after that. There was no anointing, no Mashiach, Shemen Mishcha was given to him after this.
Right, but he wasn't like the political leader until after Shalom.
Nonetheless, he was still paskening on a Merida L'Malchus. That's what he was trying to do by Nabal. And although he didn't kill Nabal, because Avigal convinced him not to on Rosh Hashanah, nonetheless, he still had the power and the ability to be able to kill with such an idea of Merida L'Malchus. If you're Merida L'Malchus, you can go. So he was a Melech. He still had the concept of a Melech over here. And now David HaMelech lamented over Shaul HaMelech and Yehonasan and his son. It says the following, this was part of his hesped, the hesped that he gave over here. He ordered that the children of Yehuda be given a bow. It is written in the book of the Yashar. Now, nobody knows exactly what that is. There's about six different perushims they give over here, what Sefer Yashar refers to, whether it's Sefer Devarim, or it's Sefer Bereishis, or all of the Sefer Torah, or another book altogether. But either way, Yehuda was given a bracha at the end of Bereishis, and he's given a bracha at the end of Devarim. And the Sefer Yashar refers to Yehuda being proficient in warfare. And thus, Yehuda was given the bow to be able to fight, to be able to train, in order for them to be able to defeat anybody that they had gone up against. That was the idea behind it. So either way, that's that. Hatzvi Yisrael. The beauty, the splendor of all of Israel. I agree that that word is a beautiful word. Alba Mosecha Cholol. Your corpse is upon the high places. Eich Naflu Giborim. How could the strong have fallen so badly? And that's the idea. How could it be, he was saying, that number one, this happened in Eretz Yisrael? How could it be that we were able to die in Eretz Yisrael, in such a great land? Some say the Eretz Tzvi refers to Shaul HaMelech and his beauty. Others say it refers to the mighty warriors who fell in front. And that's the word Tzava, as in that, as in the army itself. Al Tagidu Begas. Don't tell this over in Gas. Al Tavasu Bekutos Ashkelon. Don't let it be news in the streets of Ashkelon. Pentis Machra Benos Felician, Pentah Lozna Benos Arelim. Because you don't want the daughters of the Pelishim, the daughters of those Arelim, you don't want them to rejoice over the fact that Shaul HaMelech was dead, right? That Shaul HaMelech had, you know, Shaul HaMelech was now gone. Hari Bad Yobo. I mean, I don't know how they didn't know about it. It did say that they brought his corpse into the idol worship houses.
They had like cell phones. Whoever saw him get buried,
you'd think that this would go through the streets quickly as anything. We killed the king of Israel. His body is in the, you know, Dagon's lair. You think that that would be...
Wait, did they already take his body back or not?
Yeah, remember Yavish Gilov went right afterwards to take the body back. I don't know if David HaMelech knew that yet. I don't know if David knew that Yavish Gilov had taken his body. I don't know if how could he, right? He just barely found out that Shaul HaMelech was dead. Hare ba Gilboa, al tal ve'al matar. For the mountains of Gilboa, there should be no dew nor rain, aleichem, on you. Usdei trumos, kisham nigal. Nor should there be fields in which you bring truma. Kisham nigal mugging givon, because there was rejected the shield of the strong, mugging Shaul b'li Mashiach b'shamen. The shield of Shaul as if it was not anointed with oil. Now, this means that this area was going to be cursed forever. He did not want the blood of Shaul and the blood of Yonasan to mingle with all the other fertilizers and everything else that was there. And if it would rain, then it would be very good, fertile land. He didn't want the blood of Shaul and Yonasan to be in the plants that they were growing in order for people to have. So he cursed the mountain. He said, you should not have any rain or snow or anything that'll help you grow anything. You should be a desolate mountain for years until the blood is gone and it won't be able to help the land whatsoever. Okay, that is that. What else do we have over here? They used to use oil that would slip off, so that when people would try to hit the shields, they would slip right off the shield. So that's why they put oil over. So it's as if your shield wasn't hit with oil, and therefore the arrows were able to penetrate it. Also, the reason why truma should not be given from the field is because if there was truma given from those fields, then the Kohanim would go to the fields where Shaul HaMelech was slain. They'd remember that Shaul HaMelech had killed no Irak Kohanim of all those Kohanim, and they would be upset. So no Kohanim should come to this land, so they wouldn't remember, you know, every time they came there that this is where Shaul HaMelech was killed. Midam Chalolim Mechelev Giborim, from the blood of the corpses, from the fat of the mighty Keshis Yonas and Lonas of the Hor, the bow of Yonas had never turned back. In other words, his bow was perfect and always killed. The sword of Shaul never came back empty. In other words, they were such proficient warriors. How in the world were they killed in the middle of this war? Shaul Yonasan and Ahavim and Eimim B'chayim. Shaul and Yonasan were loved and pleasant in their lifetime. Mosim lo nifradu, and in death they did not depart. They went together to Olam Haba. Minasharim kalumi aroz gaviru. They were lighter than eagles. They were stronger than lions, willing to sacrifice themselves for anything. Benos Yisrael v'Shaul b'chena. The daughters of Judah, the Jewish daughters, should cry over Shaul. Hamal bishcham shanim adonim hamal adizavim levushchem. He was the one who gave you scarlet thread together with pleasurable things. He brought up golden vestments together on top of everything else that you were wearing. Now, the woman will obviously move to tears because, number one, Shaul Mav was a very beautiful guy, and they knew him as being a very, very good-looking guy and everything like that. But aside from that, no, clearly not. Aside from that, Shaul HaMelech was well known that when they went to war, he took up all the stuff that he could, all the whatever he could find, and put it on the Benos Yisrael. The reason why he did that is that the men, when they go out to war, they wouldn't find an Eishes Sifas Torah. That they'd be so enthralled and so happy with the Jewish woman, they wouldn't want to take any woman from the wars out there. So he gave tons of money and tons of stuff over to the woman, said they would be dressed up. He made them look good before they went out to war so that nobody would take any Eishes Sifas Torah. How could the mighty have fallen in the middle of the war, Yehonasan? Upon your high places, how could your corpse have fallen? I am pained over you, my brother Yehonasan. You are very dear to me. Your love for me was greater than the love of a woman. So they say that David has an added letter to his name. David has an extra yud, right? David, Dalid, Vav, Yud, Dalid. Yehonasan has another letter added to his name, a hey. So there's a shot over here that it says, Yud, hey are the added letters for Ish and Isha that keep the Shekhinah together. That somehow David and Melech and Shaul and Melech were connected as if they shared David and Melech and Yehonasan were connected with one another as if they were married, but they shared the same neshama. That their neshamas were hewn from the same source. I don't know if it shares the same neshama. Maybe that's not the right wording. They shared the same source from where the neshama came from.
That's true.
What do you mean?
They're not from the same shaven.
It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes you find yourself friends with somebody that you're not necessarily related to. You don't like your own relatives. I'm serious. It means you're not connected neshama-wise with people from your shevet necessarily. You could be, you might have the same job, but you're not necessarily connected with them. This is what I was saying by David and what's it called? Oi, David and Shaul. Ech naflu giborim by Yovdu Klei Melchama. How could the strong have fallen and they lost the Klei Melchama? All of these things. Number one, they lost the Klei Melchama. Remember David and Yehonasan had miraculous swords that they got in the war against the Pleshtim the first time, where Yehonasan went up by himself against all of the Pleshtim. It was a miracle that they were able to survive that, but somehow they had it. Now we have no idea where those swords are. Or we lost our master archers, that Shaul and Yehonasan were tremendous archers and they were able to do things that nobody else could. That's that.
The Rabag had a lot to get off his chest.
Yeah, so look at the Rabag. The Rabag is amazing. The Rabag usually learns lessons from lessons altogether, so that might be what he's doing over here. Others say that it was a reference to the fact that they had learned Torah, and they went through all this Torah over here, and they got through everything. That could be as well. Clearly the Rabag didn't like here safer. He liked that safer. That's clear. Alright guys, so we'll start Perek Beis, although we're not going to be able to do much over here. By Yechrei Chayin, it was after that. By Yisrael David Ba'ashem Lemar, Shol David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying, Ha'ela Ba'achzar Yehuda, should I go up to one of the cities of Yehuda? In other words, should I now go live in one of those cities? Shaul HaMelech is dead. No one's out to kill me anymore. Should I return from Tiklag and now live in one of the major cities of Yehuda? And Hashem said to him, it's time to go. Where should I go? What city is the best city for me to go to? Vayomer Chavrona. So he said, I should go to Chavron. David HaMelech did not want it to make it seem that he was hungry to become the king. It's not like he was saying, like, oh, please let me go up already or anything like that. He wasn't just waiting for the days of worry to pass.
Like the power vacuum?
What do you mean the power vacuum?
Meaning there's
a new person taking charge?
There's nobody in charge now. Like, his job is to go be in charge, so
he'll
be in charge.
But to Steve's point earlier, he still doesn't know if there's surviving sons. He only knows that Yehonasan's dead. And even though he knows that he's the next king in line, there's still going to be a succession.
That's for sure going to be true with Binyamin itself. Aside from that, just remember, he was still the guard of Achish. He still worked for Achish. Achish was coming back when he was the king of the Pleshtim, who just got out to war. He had no idea what Achish was going to have, what reaction he would have, what was going to be. He didn't know what was going to be with that. He was worried, should he stay there and stay with Achish and kill him from the inside, or should he go back to Bnei Yisrael and fight from Bnei Yisrael's side? What should he do? That also was a big shiloh over here. What's the best thing for him to be able to do over here? So that's what he asked, and he wanted to know where he should go up to, and he said that the idea is, go to Chevron. Now, we all know that Adam HaRishon gave 70 years of his life over to David HaMelech for David HaMelech to be able to live those 70 years, right? We know that. David HaMelech was supposed to die at childbirth for 3 months after he was born, and yet somehow he was able to live 70 years through what Adam HaRishon gave him. And that's what it means, go to Chevron. Your zchus in being in charge right now comes from the original person who had been buried at Chevron, which is Adam HaRishon. Because of Adam, therefore you're valued and you're supposed to be able to go up there.
I don't understand that whole Midrash, because if Adam hadn't done that, so there'd be no David HaMelech.
Asaph would have been David HaMelech. Or Asaph would have taken over the job. Asaph was very similar to David. Meaning
at that point in time, they were just the redheads. Come on.
No, that's right. That's it. No other similarities. Nothing else going for him. Asaph was still a special human being, but yeah, somehow that would have been.
What is he going to do? That somebody from Edom is going to come over and be like, oh, I'm going to become a king of the Jews now.
No, I don't think that would happen. I think Asaph himself, there would have been four Avos. Somehow would have been, you know, somehow Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Asaph. That somehow that would have worked out. And maybe in some way that would be able to
go to Hebron, thank God for what you're about to get right now.
Yeah, like, I think that's really the idea. By Yahal Shom David, so David went up there, it says in positive days. The Gam Shtein Nashal Achinomi Israel is Abigail, she's Nevela Carmeli.
He
calls Abigail the wife of Nevela Carmeli. I am bothered by this. You mentioned it before,
yes,
David.
I was looking at it too, and I'm like, they can't keep calling. We said the reason why was before that.
Right. We said within 3 months. Now it's really bothering me. It is strange that they keep.
But isn't everyone's like the seat of the Yehuda's government always?
Yeah.
Olive was there.
Well, is that considered, like, is that because of now or is that because of before? Cohen did live around Hebron. Remember, Hebron was a Levite city, meaning it was one of the Arim Miklas.
In to the territory of Yehuda.
That's definitely true, but Cohen did not live in Hebron. He took the outside area. Sneil Ben Kenaz was supposed to be, what's it called? Sneil Ben Kenaz was Gidvir, Kiryat Sefer. He took over that city and he captured it. David Ishu Hebron. Remember, he went to the Gulos Elis and Gulos Tachtis or something like that. Either way, Vashirimo and the men that he brought up with him, David brought up each man and his family, and they sat in the cities that were around Hebron, all the areas around. They settled around them. So now, no longer were they a troop of warriors. This was their families put together, and David was not afraid anymore. The men of Judah came, they anointed him there to be king over. Yehuda. This is not with the anointing oil. It wasn't necessary whatsoever. Okay, that was for Yehuda to be in charge. So they accepted David HaMelech, similar to how Shaul HaMelech had those two different times where one of them was Shmuel and Abi give him something, and then later on he was anointed by the people. This is what it was. They told David, saying, you should know that the people of Yavish Gilad, they were the ones who buried Shaul HaMelech, so to speak, in inauguration. And that's that. Let's finish with these two psukim. Yishach David Malach HaMelechi Yavish Gilad Lamb. David sent messengers to the men of Yavish Gilad, and he said to them, you are blessed to God Asher. So you have done this chesed with your master, with Shaul, and you buried him. May God do more chesed in MS with you. And I too will do this good thing for you, that you have done this thing. And that's the idea. Now David HaMelech is praised for this. He obviously had a lot to gain from Shaul HaMelech not being around, but when Yavish Gilad did it, he immediately called them out for it and said, this is an unbelievable thing that you did. You did a great mitzvah for everything you did, showing that even though Shaul HaMelech was chasing after him and wanted to kill him for all these years, he held nothing back. Held nothing back, and he treated Shaul HaMelech with the utmost respect. Alright, we're going to stop with this for right now. We're going to stop here, and we'll get to the rest of it later, how he kills the policeman, how he goes up against the policeman. We'll try to finish it next week.